You're listening to Simpler One Earth Living from Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works with co-hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson. Today we feature a conversation with Pat Trahan, a banker who speaks about growth economics, the Great Recession of 2008-2009, and Wall Street, very differently from many in the banking world.
Think about these questions. What causes a family of means to sell their suburban home in a gated community in their Louisiana city of 127,000 and move into a mixed neighborhood in the city's urban sector? Do you know what the term new urbanism refers to? And have you heard about it from someone practicing it in a way that makes neighborhoods stronger? Or where would a banker who takes his money out of Wall Street invest it? Will that investment sustain his household in retirement? These fascinating questions are boldly addressed in this podcast, so stay with us.
Greetings, Lee, from Paso Robles, California, and Simple Living Works.
And I greet you, Jerry, from San Diego and Jubilee One Earth Economics. Well, I'm really excited about this podcast, Jerry. The conversation is so stimulating. So I'm glad we're able to bring it to listeners today. Maybe I say that on every podcast, but it's sure true again today. So I just want to say that I got to know Pat Trahan some years ago when he found the Jubilee Economics website and sent an email. Well, oddly, that email was lost for some months. Now, when I finally did find it, well, I responded immediately, and subsequently, Pat and I began intermittent exchanges. He visited San Diego when he came here to fulfill his daughter's special birthday wish. Maybe it was her 16th. She wanted to come to San Diego. So I'm not sure which birthday it was, but I sure do remember sitting and talking with Pat as we had a beer looking out over the ocean. So since then, we exchange emails infrequently, but always on topics of mutual interest. Thanks for doing this this interview with him.
Well, my pleasure. Pat has written a series of short, thought-provoking responses to the book Creative Capitalism, so be sure to see the link in the show notes for those. Here's our conversation recorded this March. Well, Pat, you've referred to yourself as a recovering banker. Those words likely refer to quite a journey. Please tell us the story of that journey.
Oh, yeah. So I guess that's my flippant description of myself and maybe directs to a point on my journey. And I guess I adopted that term somewhere around 2009 after the Great Recession, where bankers really took a bad rap across the country and the world, maybe, and some of that was deserved, but some surely not. And I just kind of adopted that as a way to describe myself, and as you said, maybe my point in the path and my views on economic policies and social justice issues have shifted a great deal in the last 15 years or so, and probably differ fairly dramatically from what you would expect from a bald-headed banker and most economists around the country and the world. So, yeah, recovering banker might be a good description.
And what influence have kept you on that journey?
Wow, there've been several. I think your partner Lee Van Ham and his first two books have had a big influence on me, particularly on the side of the environment and economic justice. I've followed Lee's podcast and yours for a good while now. Another big influence on me is Father Richard Rohr, who is a Franciscan out in Albuquerque, and he runs the Center for Action and Contemplation. And I guess another influence would be a guy named James Howard Kunstler, who has his own podcast and has written several books. And he is a real critic of our land use patterns and suburban sprawl. And when I first started reading him, I lived out in the suburbs on a double cul-de-sac street in the back of a gated subdivision. You just couldn't have been any more suburban than the way that we lived. And I listened to this guy for a while and became convinced that that kind of lifestyle was just not going to be sustainable. And listened and stayed there for a while, listened to him and read others, and eventually became convicted that I just need to get out of here. And so we downsized and bought a house right near downtown in kind of a mixed neighborhood, and have been very happy with the changes that we've made there.
Indeed. I listened to Father Rohr's podcast. It has the rather mundane title of Homilies. It's available on iTunes. And I listened to Kunstler's podcast also, and he speaks of what's called new urbanism. So it fits right in with what you're talking about.
Right. I've got lots of friends in the CNU, Congress for New Urbanism, and have read a lot of their material, been to one of their conferences, and I'm a big believer in new urbanism.
I've had the pleasure of reading some of your short essays on the book Creative Capitalism. What moved you to read those, to write those essays from that book?
Well, I read that book at the end of 2008, and of course that was the beginning of the Great Recession that everyone refers to, and when we thought the economic world may come to an end. And I read the book, I saw an article, it's really based on a speech that Bill Gates gave at the Davos convention that year, the World Economic Forum, I believe is what it's called, and it just resonated with me. The author suggested, and Bill Gates suggested, a number of different ways that capitalism could be harnessed, I guess, for lack of a better word, to help deal with some of the social problems that we have and some of the inequality problems that occur in the brand of capitalism that we're running now, which I call unfettered capitalism. So I was just inspired by that book to write a little essay that suggested that there may be some better ways to deal with these issues.
Indeed, and that's what Jubilee One Earth Economics is all about, is finding economic models that will work on One Earth, because our current form of economics is only good if you have five Earths to deal with.
Right.
Well, Pat, you've created a pocket neighborhood. So tell us what that is and what prompted you to invest yourself and your family in that endeavor.
Well, as I mentioned a little earlier, I really became disenchanted with suburban life and became convinced it wasn't the right place for me for the next season of me and my wife, Lynn, and our two children who were living with us at the time, two of our four children. And I just didn't want to continue in such an isolating environment where there was such large segregation by race and income. And I was just no longer comfortable with that. So we moved downtown and were able to buy these four houses all in a group from an estate. And again, working with some of my new urbanist friends, have a design to add in a couple of garage apartments, some accessory dwelling units in among the four houses that are there. And it creates a common space, a large green space in the middle, which all of those houses and garage apartments will be able to use. And it and we would build some back porches on the units and really kind of reorient these houses towards the center and create a space that people would actually share. And if you saw your neighbors struggling with groceries, you'd actually be able to see them, and you actually might get up and go help your neighbor. And so it's kind of our own little crusade and push back against the isolating development pattern out in the cul-de-sac subdivisions. And as Richard Rohr would say, the best criticism of the bad is the practice of the better. So we decided that, well, if we're critical of the isolating lifestyle, let's try to create something that is a little more friendly and neighborly, and where people would be able to share a common space.
That sounds wonderful, Pat. I mean, we've heard of other efforts, for example, libraries for shared tools. In this case, you're sharing space, and I assume that you're all pulling your weight to a certain degree, paying the mortgage, what have you. What town in Louisiana are you in?
I live in Lafayette, Louisiana, which is the heart of the Cajun French-speaking area in Louisiana.
We'll return momentarily to our conversation with Pat Trahan and his thoughtful ideas of personally investing in the urban neighborhood where he now lives. I want our listeners to know that we have a date for the next Jubilee delegation to Mexico. It's June 1 to 9. Please travel with One Earth Jubilee to the Jubilee Circles in Mexico. You'll go to places where tourists never go, and some that where tourists do go. Rachel Miller Houghton will be leading the delegation, and we want you to be part of it. Going to sea is the best way to understand ways that resistance to unsustainable multi-earth living is being practiced by people in the Mexican states of Puebla and Chiapas. It's inspiring to see the ways One Earth Living is being shaped by people in those Jubilee circles and the many low-income and indigenous peoples with whom they work. So let us know of your interest. You're sure to have some questions about details, and we'll do our best to give you the best answers we can in a hurry. But for our part, we just want to keep encouraging you to consider doing this. So it's about $1,275. We'll cover everything. I do mean everything. Round trip from San Diego all the way to Chiapas, back again by way of San Mateo in Puebla. So let us hear from you soon on that. Now let's return to our conversation with Pat Trahan.
Some time ago, you took your money out of Wall Street. Certainly unusual for a banker. What led you to that decision, and where did you put your money instead? And how do you feel about that decision today?
Well, yes, I did. And I guess the process, Jerry, was similar to the process of leaving the neighborhood and the big house and the back of a gated subdivision. I again, post 2008-2009, you have again, we thought the economic world was coming to an end. It looks like there was no bottom to these stock markets and real estate markets and other asset classes. And of course, in rushes the Federal Reserve, in rushes the Treasury, in rushes Congress. We print money. We have QE1, QE2, QE3, and reflate all of the asset bubbles because, of course, we can't have anyone actually lose money. So I just didn't trust any of that. I just felt like it was really extreme amounts of manipulation in the financial markets and just unlimited debt on behalf of the federal government and unlimited money printing. And it just didn't seem right to me. And it seemed to me like we ought to let these markets clear. And if some of the folks who have a lot of money lose some of it, then that's the risk that you take when you invest in when you make certain investments, particularly in equity markets. And so I became convinced it was wrong, and that what I call the financial holy trinity of the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, and Congress, who feels like they must prop up the economy and all of the asset classes. Just as soon as you see any dip in GDP growth or you see any dip in the stock market, they rush in and prop everything up because, of course, the belief now is we no longer believe in recessions. Each of the presidents for the last, five administrations, they no longer believe in recessions. Not on my watch. We have to do something. Where's Bush? Where's Bernanke? We need to get this economy going, was the refrain you heard from Congress. And that was in 2005 and 2006 when things were going pretty well. So was convinced that it was wrong, and then you start reading, particularly your partner Lee's work had the big influence on me, that if we're going to continue to consume at the levels that we've been consuming, we're using up five planets worth of goodness. That's not sustainable. So, And this is where it gets tricky, Jerry, and I have a little trouble talking about this, but if you really believe that we are using up five planets worth of goodness, why would I want to be invested in the stock market and providing fuel for that fire?
Indeed. I mean, there were some folks, including myself, who felt like maybe it was better to let bankruptcies happen instead of the corporate bailouts and the bank bailouts that occurred at the end of Bush's administration and the beginning of Obama's administration.
Absolutely. And look, I'm a banker, and I would be one of the first to tell you that I don't think the bank bailout should have happened. If you ask me, and I'm speaking for just me personally and not my bank, and of course my bank's a strong bank, is doing fine, but I remember saying at the time when all of the debates were raging about what should we do, what should we not do, my answer was almost nothing. I really think that should have been the response from the Fed and the Treasury and Congress. Almost nothing. And let the chips fall where they may. But we kind of have this notion that we should have never-ending assent for those who have ascended. And no one who's made a lot of money should ever lose it. And I don't think that's capitalism. That's unfettered capitalism. That's you know, grossly subsidized capitalism. We've got this notion now that all of the lines on all of the graphs must move only up and to the right. GDP should always be growing, and the economy should always be growing, and real estate prices should always be going up. And I just can't reconcile that with everything else in creation and the cosmos. It seems to me that everything else is birthed, grows, prospers, ascends, peaks, descends, dies, decays, and then feeds and helps birth the next creation. So why is it that we think that money and economies and wealth and corporate profits are immune to the cycle that drives everything else in creation? And of course, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, we certainly recognized that wealth and profits and everything would go up and down. It was cycles, and you'd have recessions and things would go down, and it followed the same path of everything else in creation. But now our holy financial trinity doesn't believe in that, and lines on the graph should only move up and to the right. And I think that's dangerous.
Indeed. Well, some of us are involved in what's called socially responsible investing. Maybe you could help us. Where do you put your money instead of in the stock market now?
Well, I've invested just about everything I have within two blocks of our house in rental properties, just houses, most of which had to be rehabbed and improved pretty significantly, and that's where we are.
Some people call that community development.
Yeah, I've never really looked at myself as a community developer, but I guess that probably fits. The success of my retirement plan, I'm going to make it or break it based on what happens in my neighborhood. And I'm going with that. And if my neighborhood does well, then I guess my retirement will be okay. And if it doesn't do well, then I guess I just work a little longer. The other thing that really concerns me about the kind of our suburban sprawl model that we've implemented just about everywhere in the United States is that it segregates us by race and income. And the restrictive covenants that are in place in most of these developments, including the minimum lot size and minimum size of house and the certain type of shingle you need to use and the old brick, just says poor people cannot live here, period. And you know, the hard question that I like to ask is, do we really think that the kingdom will be as segregated by race and income as Lafayette, Louisiana is today? And as far as I can tell, most cities are have similar land development use patterns and demographic patterns.
Well, that is a good bit of encouragement for us to look at our own communities, indeed. Thank you so much, Pat. It's a pleasure talking to you. Good to meet you. And I'm hoping that we can post some of your essays on our website, unless they're available somewhere else.
There's one available on the Strong Towns website, Chuck Marone, who's another, he's another big influence of mine and a great, great urbanist. I think he's the single best, most clear voice on good urbanism that I know of. And he posted an essay that I wrote a while back.
Good, good. Well, we'll be sure to link to his website as well. Peace be with you, my friend. You've been listening to the second half of our conversation with Pat Trahan. After our session, Pat wrote to me with the following short postscript to our conversation. He said, "I only wish I had tied it together with Jubilee. I think Jubilee is the antidote to the growth for the sake of growth model, where all the lines and all the graphs move only up and to the right. My reading of the Jubilee passages is that the means of production should be redistributed and democratized on occasion. Our system only redistributes some of the fruit of the production. Meanwhile, wealth and power become more and more concentrated." Thanks, Pat, for that PS. In a future episode, we'll be talking about regenerative farming and its ability to sequester carbon from the atmosphere. Have you listened to our recent episodes? In January, we heard about the Safe Harbors Network welcoming immigrants near the San Diego-Tijuana border. In February, we heard about the efforts of Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement to achieve a moratorium on new and enlarged animal confinements to protect our air and water. In March, we talked to Chuck Collins from the Institute of Public Policy Studies about how inequality hurts everybody. Do listen. You're sure to pick up some thoughts you'll value. We certainly did as we created those episodes. Also, please subscribe to my Simpler Living Daily Nudge to get quick reminders of our blogs, our podcast episodes, and other intriguing happenings and events, such as Non-Conform Freely celebrations, that is, ways of honoring rites of passage and holidays without consumerism. Please tell us your thoughts on these subjects. Leave a message on the Simpler One Earth Living and Simple Living Works Facebook pages. Time to wrap up this episode. You can subscribe to this podcast under the names The Common Good Podcast and Simple Living Works at iTunes or your favorite podcast service. Urge your friends to do the same. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works with co-host Lee Van Ham of Jubilee One Earth Economics, wishing you well as we strive together to bring simpler One Earth living into being for the common good. Simply live, learn to live simply so others can live.